Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
And Sammy, I don't know if we've talked about this enough, but the Bear Claw. The Bear Claw is such a huge thing, and I think it's going to be a thing for a while. I mean, I've enjoyed it. I think it's really cool, and I think it's something that shows Caleb's personality. He goes out and he does it. Him and Roman Dunze have been doing it a ton. And then over the past couple of days, they're at a Sky game, and everybody's like, oh, Keenan Allen would never do that. And then there was a video of Keenan Allen doing it. And I just find it refreshing. I just think it's cool. And I know that the Bears super fan had been doing it for years, but he has actual bear claws on his hands. And it's funny because you see people online like, this is so cringy. You mean to tell me idiots who wear blocks of cheese on their head would consider this cringy? People who wear Viking horns and do that, that's cringy. You have the long blonde braids like Heidi, but the bear claw is cringy. And I'm glad that it's becoming a thing. I don't care who did it. I don't care if Northwestern does it. It doesn't matter. You know, first of all, people used to rock horns back in the day. You remember you go to Motley Crue concert or whatever? The NWO made the Too Sweet cool. And Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen and Tyler Scott and all our friends, we're going to make the bear claw cool, and I can't wait for it. And you know what, Sammy? Let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Rank.
It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's going to be sick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank. A new era is starting there in Hallis Hall on Friday, depending on when you are listening to this. A lot of things to get into, but first, I just want to say this. The Chicago Bears have named Caleb Williams as the starting quarterback. And I know a lot of people will sit there and be like, duh, of course. But you know what? It's not always that simple. And I think it shows a drastic change in the way that business is going to be done within Hallis Hall starting a couple of years ago and moving forward. Now, it was not too long ago that the team drafted Justin Fields and then was still like, yeah, he's going to sit behind Andy Dalton. They had Mitch Trubisky like, yeah, we're probably going to go with Mike Glennon. Like it's been a pattern. We've talked about it on this show. That the Bears will sign a veteran quarterback, draft a guy, and then play that little shell game, which is refreshing, number one. That, I mean, this is part of the reason why they had to trade away Justin Fields, which is why they kind of gave him away for a conditional fourth round pick. Like you don't need that conversation. And as dumb as it sounds, and I saw the post on Instagram this morning, and it's funny to see like, oh, the Bears name, but like it is refreshing. It is a different organization. And for me, when I see that kind of stuff, I feel like it's time to let everybody have their, get your last jokes in. It's your last ups. It's your last opportunity. You know, we see our friends, like guys like Aaron Nagler and people like that. And Grassi and all those guys, they want to sit there and they still want to make the joke about, hey, the Bears have ruined more quarterbacks than Jessica Simpson or whatever it is, whatever the joke is. Go out and do it. It is so different now. And you can tell that it's different. And I understand, like, people who are on the outside might not understand this. If you're not a fan of the Chicago Bears, you might look at this organization and be like, you know what? Like, it's the same Bears. Like, what's different? Well, very quickly, to tell you what's different, is that we have a general manager that has put an actual plan into place. Ryan Poles, when he took this job, and he kind of went out in his introductory press conference and said, listen, we're going to go and take back the North and never give it back. He had a vision for what he wanted this team to be. And he has laid it out, and it's been kind of a process over a couple of years. It's kind of like watching an episodic television series. I remember Sons of Anarchy, I think it was season 3, that while the season was happening, people were online complaining, this is the worst season ever. What are they doing in Ireland? Like, this, none of this makes sense. And yet when you saw the whole thing in the totality of the season, you're like, oh, that was actually kind of brilliant. The Amsterdam issue episode of Ted Lasso was a lot like that too. Like, it's like, what are we watching? Like, this seems like a throwaway episode, but it really wasn't. Really, you know, set a lot of things in motion. Similarly, this is what Ryan Poles has been doing over the last couple of seasons, is getting everything in motion. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Getting to this point. And now we go out there and there's no messing around. There's no mind games. There's no like, hey, we're giving Caleb Williams number 50 until he earns it, which Bill Belichick used to do in New England. We also, you know, we're not screwing around and be like, well, Tyson Bagent is the incumbent. And we made jokes, like Tyler Scott and I talked about it, where we joked before the draft, like, yeah, at one point, Tyson Bagent was the starting quarterback, a presumed quarterback one of the Chicago Bears. That is all that changed now. And it just shows you, once again, the small, subtle changes. It's not something that fans in New England or Dallas or anybody like that will look at and be like, oh, I see this. I see how it's different. But as Bears fans, we see how it's different, how much it feels like it's different. And which is why it was amazing today when these guys, or when they showed up over the past couple of days to Hallis Hall, you're like, I'm really starting to feel this. You know, I really think that we have a really solid group. I'm putting together something very special. And I know that somebody online today was like, well, where's all your support for Justin Fields? Did it just disappear? Like, that didn't disappear. I still support Justin Fields. I want him to do very well for the Pittsburgh Steelers. My friend Britt Baker and I were talking about, yeah, I know, that was a name drop. Of course it was. It's what I do. We were talking about Justin Fields, and I said, listen, and I still like Russ, too. I think Russ could go out and play. So regardless, I'm like, I'm still rooting for Justin Fields. I still think that he is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I feel like, again, I feel bad that the circumstances being what they are, that he wasn't able to enjoy what has been going on this offseason. It is. And you know what? I think that, you know, Ryan Poles, it's his job. You know, like, I can sit here and be like, I think it would be good if we kept it. But listen, it's Ryan Poles' job. I can have an opinion, but ultimately, his family's livelihood depends on the decisions that he's making. And if he wants to go with Caleb Williams, then he's going to go with Caleb Williams. And I think as we look back now, the decision was kind of made. And it's not, and again, like, I don't think that they were not trying for Justin Fields. They tried to get Chase Claypool. They tried to make some moves. They tried to do some things. They tried to help him out as much as possible, but timing and an extenuating circumstance where you get an opportunity to draft Caleb Williams, it just changed the dynamics of this team. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine who is a Commanders fan. And as a matter of fact, we scrimmaged a soccer team this week. But we were talking about it, and I said, you know what? Like, I think if the Bears had not been in a position to draft Caleb Williams, let's say that they had the sixth and ninth pick in the draft, which they wouldn't have moved up. I would assure you that they would have drafted Roma Dunze, and they would have probably drafted one of the offense. They might have traded down. But, you know, I think I would be really jealous if there was some other team that had Caleb Williams, because there's something about him. There's something about him that's just different. And I think people are starting to notice it. And it's funny, too, because everybody had talked about, like, how he's a bad teammate, how he's this or that. And they, you know, they worry about the color of his phone case. But as the days and weeks go on, you're like, oh, this guy's really got something special to him. And as a matter of fact, Matt Eberflus talked about that on Friday. And Sammy, can we go to that clip, please?
I'm Caleb. How would you describe his aura?
It's really, you know, I've said it before that you can really tell that he's comfortable with himself in his own skin, and he is who he is. And his personality starts, you know, in his light comes out from the inside. You can certainly feel that energy. He's a 1+1=3 guy. You know, so he's an enhancer. He's a guy that brings out the best in people, and you can certainly feel that within 5 minutes of meeting him.
Yeah, there is certainly something about Caleb Williams that just says superstar. You know, you look at some of these players that come out of the draft, and some people have big personalities, some people are quiet. There are guys who are just superstars, and they exude it. You know, and there's always people in your life that you are naturally drawn to. Call it charisma, call it what you will. But there is always some sort of spark to certain people where you're like, yeah, I want to be in their presence. Caleb Williams has that, and we're starting to see it. And I think there was no bigger illustration than when you looked at the draft, you know, going back to the combine, you know, he was there throwing to kids, you know, he ran out of field. He was on the field in Lucas Oil Stadium, encouraging people. He was showing up for the press conferences for his USC teammates. And that's a big thing too. Like you think about that, like none of those receivers that he played with were drafted out inside the seventh round. You know, Jerry Rice's kid was drafted in the seventh round, a throwaway pick who might not even make the team. You know, when you compare this, and I think I talked about this with Andy McNamara earlier this week, when you look at his situation, like there are certain quarterbacks that come in who are in great situations in college, and they're surrounded by all these first round draft picks. And coming to the NFL is actually a step down. Jaden Daniels might experience this. Now, Terry McLaurin is a good player, but there is like you were playing with some bona fide superstars at LSU. Justin Fields was playing with absolute superstars at Ohio State. And now they go into a situation where you're like, my receiver room in the NFL might be worse. It's the exact opposite with Caleb Williams. And you just see it when he's out there and he's working. You know, he's not necessarily working, but like he's with his teammates. Like he goes to a Cubs game. Like I think that was my first green flag, was that he was at a Cubs game. We saw plenty of photos of Justin Fields going to see the White Sox. Mitch Trubisky went to the White Sox game. Like, remember that? And Kyle Long was sitting next to him pounding a beer. That's a red flag for those guys. The fact that Caleb Williams is going to a Cubs game, green flag. I think even the White Sox fans would be like, yeah, it's pretty good idea. Like, yeah, you probably want to go to the Cubs game instead. Even the White Sox fans have to admit that. But it's just, you know, it's refreshing and it's fun. It's fun to have a quarterback. And it's not a knock on Justin Fields. And I like Justin Fields. Like, I really like Justin Fields, but they're different people. And they can both be successful at what they're doing. But there's something about Caleb. You know, it's like kind of like watching professional wrestling. You know, there are certain guys like John Cena. You know, like John Cena is jacked and he's huge. And like Steve Blackman was jacked and he was huge. But like there's something about the charisma of John Cena. There's something about the charisma of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and people like that, as opposed to other guys who are just like muscle bound. Like, yeah, they look the part. They're good. They're talented. I enjoy them. They're very good at what they do, but there's some spark about that, about being a main eventer. And I think that's the thing with Caleb Williams, is that he's a main event guy and he's got his compatriots there. And now they're going to rookie camp too. And as much as we love like Keenan Allen and Tyler Scott and everything, I keep looking at this Roma Dunze situation. And obviously I've talked about this before and how big of a deal it was just for them to draft him. But when I look at the opportunity that these two guys have as rookies, now they're going to be working together this weekend, throwing to each other, developing chemistry. And I'm sure the other guys who are on that roster, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, and the running backs, everybody's like, I wish, you know, they're probably chomping at the bit. And these two guys get to go out there and really work. I mean, everything going back to the draft where they're on the same flight together, they were they feel like a duo, like a dangerous duo. Like that's the kind of like, they come in like Hall and Nash, like the New World Order. Like those guys are coming together. DJ Moore is Hollywood DJ Moore, but those two guys are coming in as the Hall and Nash, as the outsiders. And I really love seeing it. Let's talk about Caleb. He was talking about Roma Dunze earlier today on Friday. Sammy, do we have that clip?
What have you noticed about the way Rome runs routes, the way the ball, you like to get it to him? Just what has stood out, passing and catching with him?
Yeah, through a couple times now, been able to, you know, throw the ball to Rome. You obviously see why he had, I think, 1,500 plus and a bunch of catches. And so, he's explosive for size, explosive, you know, route runner, things like that. He's also really smooth in and out of routes and transitions. So, you know, working with him, it's been great. It's been awesome. I'm excited for what's next.
Yeah, and they're getting that chemistry going together too. It was interesting because I've been looking through some of the notes on Roma Dunze, and he trends on Twitter quite often. And I go back to the conversation that we had with Matt Harmon a couple of weeks ago when talking about the reception perception and where he has all green arrows. Like there's not a route that he can't run. And for whatever reason, people got it into their heads that Roma Dunze is not like a fast guy. Like he's not Xavier Worthy. He's not out there running a 4.2, but he ran a 4.4, which is pretty fast. And I think you'll see when he's out there on the field, he's fast enough to get separation. And he's good enough of a route runner to get that separation and be wide open. And what we're seeing, and DJ Moore talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that Caleb Williams throws with a lot of anticipation. Like he expects guys to be open at a certain point. So getting this opportunity to go out there and work with Roma Dunze is going to be very beneficial. And again, like as I was in, and again, not to throw fantasy football into this, but looking at the development of chemistry and who is going to be the guy who emerges. Like they were talking about this just a couple of days ago. Like there is going to be a race to be a 1,000-yard wide receiver. Like who is going to be that person? You know, if you look at the situation that Brock Purdy's in with the San Francisco 49ers, they're looking at, like, you're looking at multiple people who contributed to that offense. Obviously, you had Christian McCaffrey, but still, Brandon Ayuk, 8, Debo Samuel, 8, both those guys, if you're just going on fantasy numbers, both those guys were top 15 fantasy guys. George Kittle, one of the best tight ends in the game. I feel like the Bears are going to look a lot like that, where you have a lot of guys who are going to put up a lot of numbers. And it's funny because I'm looking at the, and again, a lot of this comes through the lens of fantasy football, but I'm like, I don't even want to concede that part of it. Like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to give up. Like, obviously, yeah, like single season redraft league, sure. But like long-term, I'm like, I think Roma Dunze, I think that this weekend is going to do a lot for how well he develops in the NFL and getting on the same page with his quarterback, almost to the point where I feel like Keenan Allen could end up being the complementary piece where Roma Dunze and DJ Moore are out there putting up huge numbers, and Keenan Allen is the guy who you get pissed off at because he's making the third and 13 reception and going out there and really just moving the sticks and breaking the opponent's will. But that's really the thing that you want. I remember one of the best teams, I guess the Patriots would do this a lot, where, you know, Danny Amendola, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, like those guys didn't have huge numbers. Like they didn't have Randy Moss numbers, but they always made that catch. It's third and eight, they get nine. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff. And I feel like this team is going to look a lot like that. And so it's great to hear about it. As a matter of fact, Roma Dunze talked about Caleb Williams today. And Sammy, can we play that one?
Chance to do anything on the field the last 2 weeks with Caleb?
I have, yeah. We got in some work a few times, yeah, as I got in. And we both were you know, getting into the playbook and also, you know, trying to build our chemistry from day one. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That was the thing that kind of stood out to me. Is as much as we've seen things on the social media, the Bear Claw, the going to games, this, you know, the Sky and the Cubs and all that stuff, these guys are out there working. Like they're already getting after it. I think there was a report a couple of weeks ago that Caleb Williams got the Bears playbook pretty early and was ready to go and already familiarizing himself with a lot of the concepts and a lot of the things that are going to be expected of him. And Roma Dunze and him have hit the ground running. And it's just such a great weekend. It's just such a, it's such a great time to be a fan of the Chicago Bears because there is so much good stuff going on. And I know a lot of you, and listen, there's going to be a lot of clips that come out. There's going to be a lot of highlights. We're going to see some amazing catches. And we're going to go out and we're going to post about it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to have a good time. Now, don't let the people who are jealous and who are afraid try to sit here and ruin your good time. We have waited a long, we've waited a number of years to be in a situation like this. And even, and listen, as much as I love Justin Fields, you knew that there was still like, nah, there's still something not quite right. This is completely different. This is the way to go. And I know that people are talking about like, why didn't they blow out the cut? Like, I'm still of the belief that Matt Eberflus is going to be the right call. I think that that's the one thing that the haters have been like latching onto the most. And I've noticed that recently. We'll be like, oh, they should have just blown out Eberflus. And I even thought that too. I'm like, nah, you know, it makes a lot of sense to kind of like maybe like just start over with everybody. But you know what? The veteran players love him. The team did not quit last year. And at the same time, you know, like this is still Ryan Poles' guy to the point of like, I think he gets 2 years because you're starting with a brand new offensive coordinator. I think Shane Waldron's going to be around for a couple of years too. Like, I don't think that, I know that everybody's already like, it's the same thing that happened with Luke. Like before Luke Getsy even called a play for the Chicago Bears, everybody was like, oh man, like, should we make him head coach? Should we, like, we're going to lose. Like, let's not put the cart in front of the horse. Like there's no reason to do that. But at the same time, I think that this coaching staff is going to be around for a while. I think Shane Waldron is going to want to sit here and be a part of this because there is a real opportunity for there to be something special. And I really do believe that Matt Eberflus deserves the benefit of the doubt. Like you cannot sit here and tell me, you cannot make a judgment that Matt Eberflus is a bad coach. There's nothing about that. Nothing about it is on Matt Eberflus. Like they're like, he was brought into a team that was on a new read, like a tear down rebuild, just like everybody else. And he had to suffer through that first season. That was a lot of fun where we were scoring like 30 points a game and we were losing those close contests. And then towards the end of the season, it got a lot of fun because like, oh, we could end up with a number one pick if things break correctly, which they did. And everything led to what it is. We all know, don't need to go over that again. And then last year he came out and he was in a situation where he had to fire his defensive coordinator. Luke Getsy wasn't doing great. And he still managed to lead a team that won seven games. And obviously, like I saw this too, is somebody was like, well, they lost. And something I love to talk about is losing the three games in the fourth quarter when you had a 90% chance of winning. And I'm like, is that necessarily Matt Eberflus's fault? Like, was that on him? Like, I can't honestly say that it is. Now, after the Denver game, I think that was Justin's fault. Like, listen, I like Justin Fields. He made a mistake. Like, you can't, like, the Broncos made an adjustment. And I think it might come down to Luke Getsy's play calling. Like, quit calling the same play over and over again. But at the same time, Justin Fields needs to at some point realize I've got to, when you're leading a team, sometimes you just got to pocket a ball. You know, you see a guy running buck naked towards you, like, ah, pocket, go to the ground. Like, don't try to do something crazy. Don't get strip sacked and let it go. Like, you might have fallen out of field goal position, which I think he might have been worried about. That was sort of on him. The Cleveland game, the Detroit game, who was that ultimately on? Like, I think this team needs to develop a winning mentality. I thought the play calling might have gotten a little bit conservative in those contests. And if Matt Eberflus is out there and this Bears team is losing those games again, then I think that we can have a real conversation about that. But it's not like the Bears are the only team that suffer these horrific defeats. I really do believe that it's something like it happens. Like, it happens in the NFL. And when you're inexperienced and you don't have a winning tradition, these things happen. But I think that it's going to be a lot different. Like, we now have veteran presence on this team, both on both sides of the football. We've shored up the coaching, I hope. And I think this team is ready to go. So, again, you can grasp onto the straws for all the haters out there, for everybody who wants to sit here and doubt this team and doesn't believe that they're going to be able to the same old Bears again. Fine. Keep those jokes up. But I'm here to tell you, and I'll tell anybody, that if you've been a fan of this team for any amount of time, you've watched the way that this organization has operated. Like, even look at, like, what Kevin Warren is doing. Like, we're probably going to end up building a stadium in Arlington Heights. And the thing of it is like, him doing this thing with, like, nope, we're going to build on the waterfront might make Arlington Heights give us everything that we need. I saw this happen in Los Angeles, where, you know, the Rams were like, well, we might not build here in Inglewood. Like, they were building in Inglewood. So, again, the organization just feels different. Like, everything about it feels fresher. It feels like a modern NFL team. It feels like a modern NFL franchise that's doing the right thing. So, over the next couple of days, as the videos and the reports come out of rookie minicamp, and as we get into the other parts of summer where the entire team gets together, be excited about it. Don't be the person who wants to, like, I want to brace my expectations. Like, why? Why do we need to brace our expectations? Because something bad happened 20 years ago? I'm done with it. I'm excited for this team, and I think that the future is bright for the Chicago Bears. So, in any event, I want to thank everybody for being here. Thanks to our friends at Game Room Chicago. Again, still buzzing about that great trip that we had for the draft a couple of weeks ago. If you missed the interview with Tory Taylor, I implore you to go check that out. He has some strong feelings on putting ketchup on a hot dog, which was so shocking. That's not shocking. People do this all the time, mostly children, but people still do that. In any event, go check that out as well. And we will be back next week for another edition of Take It to the Rank. We'll talk about some of the things that we're going to be seeing this weekend with the Chicago Bears. So until that time, bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.